This is a Vantage House production.
Hey folks, Jalen here. We have officially wrapped up the season, and I truly hope you guys enjoyed this season as much as we did. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be releasing some behind-the-scenes episodes, so this week we have production. They're going to walk you through what it's like to create an episode every week. Next week, we'll have the sound team, and they'll walk you through their process. Hope you guys enjoy. All right, let's get this party started. Hi, everyone. This is a bonus episode of The Delve. One of the things that I wanted to do post-season was give a little bit of insight into how we make an episode every weekend. So I brought our production team here with me, and we're making this cool bonus episode. So hi, everyone. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, everyone. My name is Shiva Ozma, and I live in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in the U.S. I'm a freelance science writer and multimedia journalist. I worked on The Mental Impacts of War and Haiti Beyond the Brink.
Awesome.
Hi, everyone. My name is Gene Vasquez, and I am located in Washington, D.C., and I worked on episodes 7 and 13, Fighting Book Bans and Censorship with Brookie Parks, and Straight White American Jesus, Unraveling Christian Nationalism with Brad Onishi.
Literally, I think my second favorite episode. So really great job, Gene. And next.
My name is Rainier Palat. I currently live in central New Hampshire. I'm a grad student at Oxford, and I worked on the Russia episodes and the Africa episode.
Awesome.
Hi, everyone. I am Madison, head of production. I am in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I worked on all the stories, but especially on the intro episode on the history of Israel. And then I did, like I always do, a lot of climate episodes, one on life after capitalism and one on radical climate activism. And I think that's it.
Awesome. This was, I think, for me personally, our best season yet. And then just analytically speaking, it was also our best season yet. We did so well this season. You guys came up with like the best stories ever. I said Gene's Straight White American Jesus was my second favorite episode, but I love them all. Like they were all so amazing. Did you guys have any favorites without picking your own? No. Everyone liked their own stuff.
My favorite is definitely my own, but go ahead, Shiva. Let's hear.
I liked several of our episodes. I just listened to the one about Middle Eastern Jews. I thought that was really interesting. And also, I was really proud of us for doing the one about the Israel-Hamas conflict. That was kind of, I think, the most balanced piece of news reporting I have seen in this conflict. So I loved that. There was much more balanced and nuanced. And there was an element of, listening to that, I actually feel hopeful that that conflict can come to a mutually beneficial end. So that gave me hope. Mm.
Love that.
Cool. Yeah, I love that too. Maybe this is like a really good chance for us to discuss this latest episode that we've dropped. I don't know how to reference this episode. We're recording on the day that episode's released. But you guys got to hear it a day early. And that one, I went pretty rogue on. We didn't like have like a meeting or anything about this. It was just like a thing that kind of like fell into my lap. And I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, let's roll with this. What were your guys' thoughts on this past episode? Have you guys heard of Mizrahi Jews before? Sure. Hop on in, Shiva.
So I'm Persian. So that means I'm from Iran ethnically. So I know about Iranian Jews. I know a few Iranian Jews. So I knew that was a thing. I didn't know that was called Mizrahi Jews, but that's the kind of thing I really like learning about. And I think it's really sad that thanks to ethnic cleansing and, I mean, pretty much just ethnic cleansing that's happening, not just in Asia, but in other places, like we kind of have lost the diversity of people. And also, I think another thing is about the Middle East is that a lot of people don't really know about the Middle East. They can't locate the nations on a map.
Yeah.
So it's good to like hear those perspectives. And the reason I find them so valuable is that their opinions aren't often what you think they will be. Like, they have different life experiences. I didn't get to listen to the whole episode yet, but I listened to the first part and I thought that was really interesting. So I can't wait to listen to the rest of the episode.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone else wants to jump in on this episode. Madison, sure.
Yeah, I think with this interview, I loved the interview. I thought it was really important and definitely uncovering something that's just being really glossed over in the current narrative. So, you know, I just wanted to say that Chaelin and I don't necessarily agree on this topic, and we get to have a lot of back and forth about it. And I think that's something that's really special, not only in this context of making like a political podcast, but in also like working with your best friend. So that's just that I wanted to say.
It's really interesting sometimes because I think we kind of like enrich each other's perspective, you know, because sometimes I'm like, oh my God, whoa. And then I think I share things with you and you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that's like really, really awesome. And I think that's probably what I really wanted to explore with this episode, like just kind of like a different dynamic of Judaism that probably the vast majority of folks who have either heard about Jews or interacted with a Jew have like not seen, like an Iraqi Jew. Mm. Like that just sounds probably so foreign. But yeah, they actually used to have one of the largest populations of Jews after Israel was created. And even before, Jews were treated pretty horribly. And then after Israel was created, they were completely run out. Every Jewish community throughout the Middle East. I think in Egypt, there's like two, literally two. They also used to have one of the largest Jewish populations in the Middle East. So for me, that was something that I saw a lot of value in sharing that dynamic with the world. I think one of the things I'm always kind of like trying to be conscious of is our reach. You know, like we are reaching thousands and thousands and thousands of people every week. So I'm always like thinking about, you know, before we greenlight any story, is this going to be better for the world? Or is it going to like set us back? And I think that's kind of like a really tough call because sure, there's what, 8 billion people in the world, but we're reaching, you know, these thousands every week. Are those thousands going to make a decision that impacts their community based off a story they heard on The Delve? So that's something I always kind of like try to keep in mind. This one was a tough call, but I just kind of like went for it.
He did go rogue.
I went rogue. Yeah, I did.
He did go rogue. So if you're mad about it.
I'm ready. All right. So I think with that, I think it would probably be interesting to tell folks a little bit about like how our production meeting goes and how we land on an episode every week. So this is the production team we've had for season 7. These guys were awesome. We have our production meetings on Friday morning, and basically you guys come up with ideas, you pitch them, we go through it, like that pitch idea, cool, that's awesome, how do we approach it, what's the angle, what is this, you know, kind of like the impact this is going to have, blah, blah, blah. You guys pitch guests, you guys reach out to the guests, sometimes that's a whole mission in itself. We hear back from the guests. You guys write the questions. We finalize the interview. Sometimes we send the interview back straight to you guys to listen to kind of like do some editorial cut-its. Usually they're kind of good to go. And then you guys write the scripts for the monologues. I go through them, kind of like do some edits. We record. Then it's kind of like all sent to the sound team. And that's, you know, where the other side of the magic happens. Did I miss anything?
I would just say that we normally write like 12 pages and then we have to slash it down to 3 pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can be kind of a painful process, but yes. It is important.
Well, I think it's painful for me because I'm like, oh gosh, they put so much like time and research into this. And then I just like come in with like, oh, you don't really need that. Oh, it's a lot of talking. So sometimes I feel really, really bad, but it's for the good of the pod.
It is.
So yeah, Madison, if you want to kind of like expand what the ideation process is like.
Sure. I mean, I think we always try to not report the news. It's very tempting to report the news. And we really have to drill it into ourselves that that's not our job. That's not what we're trying to do here because the news changes really fast. So we try and find topics that are topical. They are adjacent to current events, but that we're not reporting sort of day to day. This is what's happening. We think about as well, sort of what's the timeline? When do we want this episode to come out? So maybe we have like 6 episodes in mind. And we'll look forward at the timeline. Maybe we know the Supreme Court is going to make some decisions. And so we'll hold an episode for that. Or I think like Russia, a topic we always keep in our back pocket. Like we're going to drop this when Putin does something nuts. So we kind of timeline our episodes in that way or stagger our episodes in that way.
Yeah. Does anyone else want to jump in about their perspective of like the whole process? We can start with Rainier, then we'll hop over to Sheba.
Something I really struggled with is this kind of idea of coming up with a good idea that you think people will be interested in, but then kind of tempering that with the realities of what podcast listeners are actually going to want and what they're actually going to engage with. Mm-hmm. Especially, we had quite a few conversations where it was like, okay, this is a really interesting topic, but is it going to be way too dark and depressing for someone to listen to on their morning commute? Like, is that going to send people into a shame spiral? Is this going to be something that's productive or not? Or is it just kind of like dark tourism, almost kind of weirdly profiteering off of misery that's happening to other people? So it's a really fine line to walk, I think.
Yeah. Sheva, let's go.
Yeah. So about the monologues. So the PTSD, Mental Impacts of War episode, it was very informational. So I'm a neuroscientist from my background. I have a master's in neuroscience and I'm also a journalist. So I wanted to get all this research in there. And I thought that was really interesting. But then after that, the next podcast I worked on was Haiti. And I wrote this whole long monologue, kind of doing a deep dive into the history of Haiti and everything. And that monologue got like shortened by a lot because we were able to interview the executive editor, I think, of the Haiti Times. And so it was more newsy than the other one. So the style of the story also and the angle, the science podcast was completely different. But also, I think it turned out better to have the actual guests talk more about their experiences, because that's why we have the podcast, is to ask the experts their opinions on stuff. So I thought that was a really good discussion and actually very illuminating. And I feel like political leaders, important people should listen to The Delve, because we do some really good analysis. And a lot of us have backgrounds in policy. Like I've worked at some think tanks. I know Rainier's done policy analysis. So maybe they would learn something from listening to our podcast and like inform their diplomatic efforts and everything.
Yeah, I agree, Sheva. That's the best compliment I think we've ever received ever. Gene, you haven't spoken much. Anything you want to say?
I actually have a question for you.
Oh, sure.
Have you ever had an interview like for an episode that went completely off the rails? And what happened?
Like bad?
Yeah. Well, like just you became very uncomfortable.
I became uncomfortable?
I'm just curious if you ever had someone go off the rails as a guest.
I suppose there has been one. I wasn't uncomfortable, but it was really long. We had to completely change the format of that episode to like fit all of that content in. But no, I've never been like, I would like that. I think that'd be really fun. I mean, not fun, but I think it'd be like interesting to have someone on where I'm like, whoa, this is wild. Good question. Cool. Anything else for production meeting stuff? No? Rainier, what didn't we cover that you wanted to cover?
Oh my God, so many things. I had a weird obsession kind of at the start with organ smuggling. That was kind of the big thing in my life at the moment that I really wanted to cover.
Did we talk about that?
Briefly. I think we kind of glossed over it. It was part of the do they want it darker conversation, and we ultimately decided no. But I don't know if people know this. After the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, where thousands and thousands of people died, people were just like claiming bodies that were found in hospitals, unidentified bodies, and harvesting their organs and smuggling them into Europe. And I don't know, I like, when you have a disaster of that scale, it's not really what people are concerned about. But it is, if you're like a wealthy European who's getting an organ, I feel like you should know that they were like stolen from disaster victims. But that's also not really a reality that a lot of people want to deal with, I feel like, on a Monday morning commute.
Jesus, right?
That would have been a great episode. That's so intriguing.
Rainier always coming in with the darkest.
You seem surprised, Chaelin. I feel like we talked about this.
Chaelin is still in shock.
The man was too shocked to speak. That is wild. Shiva, please save us.
I didn't know about that. All I know about the Turkey Syria earthquake, it was really devastating. That thing about the organs is really shocking to me because the scale of devastation in that earthquake was quite immense because it wasn't like a super wealthy area. And I don't know how much you know about organ donation, but it's already quite fraught with structural racism. That's like the biggest example of altruism I have seen lately. That is really shocking and really sad, but not that surprising to me.
A lot of lives were saved while many perished. That's wild.
There's also a whole other like religious component to it too. If you think that a lot of religions don't feel very strongly, there's kind of this idea that the body should be as whole as possible when it's interred or when you go to your final resting place. So you are also kind of tanking people's ability to access the afterlife according to their religion in some circumstances.
I think this is like a really great opportunity for us to like show the world how we would develop this episode. Rainier just pitched this thing on this organ harvesting and we're talking about it now. And then it's like, all right, cool. What type of person will we even interview for this story?
Ideally, someone in the medical industry, I feel like. There's been a lot about corruption, specifically in the organ donation industry coming out recently.
This is such a heavy topic. I don't remember doing like a medical topic since like COVID.
I would love to interview someone who was kind of a medical professional who was there trying to deal with the results of the earthquake.
I am very intrigued by this.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting intrigued too. I went from shock to intrigue. Madison, yeah.
I think when we talk about the ideation phase of an episode, we also then look for the unique angle. And rather than just like reporting a story on its face, we think about like, what is the context? What is the nuance we want to add? So for me, the thing that really jumped out, Rainier, that you said was the element of religious burial rites and how people want their body to transition out of this worldly life. So I think if I was looking for a guest, I would look for somebody sort of in the intersection of the medical field and the religious and sort of funeral rites kind of field to talk about that.
Well, maybe like a chaplain.
Or like a very religious coroner. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be sort of like the angle that I would want to enter the story.
Can you guys imagine if I had to interview a coroner about like organ harvesting? What?
That's what I was saying about the delve is that a lot of people, they don't see the links between these things. Like when you see the news, it's just a story on a single topic. It doesn't have a lot of context. I feel like we do a lot to add context to stories. And I don't really enjoy thinking about organ donation, but if I didn't have a kidney, I would think about it probably a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you would need it.
Well, there's also been a fair bit of drama in Western Europe recently with politicians allegedly or allegedly not purchasing organs on the black market to kind of circumvent the traditional procedures. We could start drama. If we wanted to name some names, we could start drama.
There's like
drama.
A corruption angle.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, quite a few people.
There's definitely a corruption component to it because like this is a disaster. People should be, they're going through enough. They don't need their organs stolen.
But on the other side, like in the European Union, you know, like politicians going behind the back of the medical system to get their own kidney or whatever they need. I mean, also sucks to need an organ. It's a really crazy process.
Are there folks like, disaster. Get somebody over there. Like, we gotta, like, get those organs in the first 12 hours. Like, is that a thing?
Right. I mean, that's kind of what capitalism does to us, right?
Wow. maybe like a deep dive into how organs are
trafficked.
Oh, it sounds so bad. Is there a legal method to this?
Well, being an organ donor.
No, but not from like, you know, a domestic thing. Like if it's like international and there's a disaster, and is there a way to like extract organs from a disaster?
No, not to my knowledge. Typically you need consent and there's all kinds of testing that has to go into it beforehand. So
yeah.
Disaster zones are not like the ideal environment to safely and effectively harvest organs.
Shiva, I'm sorry, you want to jump in?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I know a little bit about organ donation in the U.S. To be able to get an organ transplant, you have to sign up on a registry. And actually, that registry, until very recently, was incredibly racist. There was a different standard for Black people and like Caucasians. And so it basically like ranked Black people lower on this list. So that's the structural racism inherent in that. And the other part is in a natural disaster, there's a lot of kind of chaos. I never thought about like literally someone takes your organ from you, and like that's the epitome of violating someone's personal space.
Yeah.
It is really sad that natural disasters and like war bring out the worst in people, and people take things that don't belong to them.
So everyone, you just had a peek at about how we go through the ideation process. Yeah, let's hop to the next question. Gene, what was your favorite episode and why?
Actually, my favorite episode was Rainier's episode when you interviewed her about her experience in Russia, living and being educated in Russia. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Hear the insights, you know, of someone who's lived there, you know, and how the culture is there. And honestly, I wanted to hear more. I definitely would have loved to hear more of that.
Gene, that is so funny because we finished recording and I was like, oh my God, this is awful.
I didn't think so at all.
I was like, we're not going to publish this.
I thought it was great. I really thought it was great.
Fascinating. Different perspectives.
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was good too.
Gene, how was it to work on the Christian nationalism episode and Brad's interview?
For me, it was riveting because it's just, you know, when you're a nerd on certain topics, you just love to hear the experts talk about it. But going back to, you know, the ideation process, when we're doing these scripts, it's so hard to hold back because you want to throw everything that you're passionate about, but you also want to let the experts fill us in and engage with the audiences on these topics. But it was pretty interesting, you know. I mean, he was definitely somebody who told us what Christian nationalism was. And I definitely would love to contribute to more on those elements because there's a lot to be talked about. And yeah, Brad really was the perfect guest. And I learned a lot from him, truly, especially with things that connect with even the conflicts that we're seeing going on in the Middle East today. But yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes as well. You and Brad had a great time.
It was really fun. I noticed there was like a TikTok at the end of that script.
That was from Gene.
Really? It was like to lift your spirits or something.
It was a video of a pastor.
I loved it. I was like, whoever put this here, this is exactly what I needed after such like a depressing, like you read that script and you're just like, oh my God, everything is so horrible with this. And then you hear that pastor at the end and I was like, that's right. Yes, there's good Christians out there. So I was like really happy to hear that there's this segment of evangelicals that are vehemently like against this movement to use Christianity to push some really, really horrible agendas. That was really nice. Thank you for that.
Of course. It was great. You know, you did highlight that there is that video that pastor condemning people who, you know, mixed religion with government. He pulled up examples how the bishop church is also taking stances against extremism and Christian nationalism. And so was this pastor. So it was kind of cool to see that there are people out there from different walks of faith who are taking this thing very seriously. And hopefully this episode, which we delved into, will really inform people on what it is, because it's not, you don't have to be a crazy extremist to fall into this category.
Yeah. I have a question. How often do you guys use the word delve?
Actually, you know, I never realized how often I used to use it before even joining the delve.
Shiva, so. Rainier, do you guys use delve a lot?
Pretty rarely, actually. Almost never.
Shiva?
I actually did start saying delve more. Did you guys see that there was like this whole thing online about how like if you see the word Delve, that means it's generated by ChatGPT. So then my question for you, Traylon, is did you use ChatGPT?
First of all, ChatGPT was not even here when the Delve came out.
Yes.
So
Delve predates ChatGPT.
Yes. Okay. And then next question, Shiva. You did the journalism PTSD episode. Why was that important for you?
So it was important for several reasons, both like personal reasons for me and also professional reasons. So in graduate school, I studied PTSD's effect on the brain, and it honestly didn't work out. The other part that was crazy was after I left grad school, everyone was doing all this traumatic stuff. At the time, it was 2014 or so. We were in the middle of the Iraq war, and that was a very traumatic war. And I think the Israel-Hamas war is similar. Now we're in another, not only that war, but also Russia-Ukraine conflict. I'm not sure what the actual names of these wars are, but, and the crazy part is no one thinks about this. So it's like this idea of vicarious trauma. It's kind of like secondhand smoke where like people didn't think secondhand smoke was bad for you until people started getting health problems from it. And they're like, oh, I guess even if you're not smoking, you can still get health effects from smoking. And the same goes for vicarious trauma. So it's just so important to understand the effect of trauma because it affects all of us. If we knew about trauma, the world would be different. We'd be in fewer wars. We would have better things for like children because trauma really affects them. So working on this episode really launched like this whole research area for me, merging my personal experience as a scientist and my experience as a journalist. And I hope others find it valuable to learn about their brains because that's always empowering. In Persian, we have a phrase, Tavanabavad harkid anabavad, which means knowledge is power. So I think that was a huge part of what was so great about working on that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was like one of the best episodes to perform. So I think it resonated with a lot of people.
Sure. Can I add something? Yeah, I love that episode as well. It's so hard to pick. Like Shiva said, it's so important to talk about trauma. I listened to that episode and there were some things that I learned that I brought up to my therapist and I was able to deal with some of my personal issues as well. So very, very important episode on trauma, and one can suppress so many things at once and not really realize what happened. It was really great.
That's amazing. Changing lives.
Okay, I think we're going to wrap up here. Is there any last things that you guys would want to say?
I was just going to say, I'm curious if particularly Shiva, because I know Shiva has other writing experience, but I really struggled with trying not to write in my own voice and trying to write in someone else's voice. Like I would describe world leaders as having like, you know, engaging in bad bitch behavior. And somehow I feel like that's not something Traylon would say. And that was something I constantly had to like censor myself with. So I'm curious if anyone else struggled with that, because I really enjoy writing, but writing from someone else's perspective is also a new challenge.
That is really hard. Traylon, you have a very distinct narrative style, and that's something, one's narrative style, it's like part of their identity. I'm also a ghostwriter. So when you're a ghostwriter, like you become other people. So like once I was the president of a healthcare nonprofit, or like I was a genius inventor, and then you have to like read their articles to get a feel for who they are and then write in that style. But I still think Traylon does have a very unique narrative style. And if I had to describe it, I would say that it's very factual, but also very authentic to Traylon. So that is a little bit difficult. And my monologues did get like totally.
No. I think it's not just you, Shiva. It's every script that I'm like, okay, let's.
I mean, normally what happens is the rest of the team sends it to me and I do a first Traylonify, and then I send it to Traylon and Traylon does a second Traylonify.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think between Traylon and I that our tones can be kind of similar. We have a little bit of this like cheeky, teasing sort of tone. And yeah, so that helps. But also I've known Traylon for 17 years. So we have that similar tone of voice and whatever. But yeah, they ended up getting changed quite a bit.
Let's wrap up. Thanks, guys, for an awesome season. You guys literally elevated this podcast to a whole new level with your stories, your pitches, your scripts. I can't be thankful enough for each and every one of you. You guys are truly so happy, so thankful. You guys are awesome. Really, really. Any other last words?
It's been really wonderful to get to know you all and to work with you and hear your amazing ideas. So I echo that sentiment. Thanks so much. It's been great.
I just want to say thank you to everyone. It's been great to get to know you guys, learn a little bit about your backgrounds, just gain more expertise from y'all, and, you know, be challenged, receive feedback. I love that. And yeah, it's just been very fun. And there's so many things that could have been talked about. Like Rainier was saying, she always has these very interesting topics that I like to hear. Yeah, it's been a great season. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to chime in and thank everyone. When I applied to this, I was like, I don't really have any experience in this, but I love This American Life. Thanks for allowing me to live my dream of basically having a This American Life type of podcast. It's been so fun to learn from everyone, gain new skills, get new perspectives. This podcast has put me in contact with people that I don't normally talk to, and I've gotten a new perspective, and it's been really fun. Every week that we have production meetings, I always look forward to them. And so it's been a really fun experience for me. So thank you.
Awesome.
Cool. Rainier, any last words for you or?
No, not for me. Thank you guys so much. This has been fun.
Awesome.